You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Oh my God, the voice.
Sound like you went through puberty.
That was quite embarrassing. What is up? Oh, my voice is hurting right now. It's not working.
Should we just sing it like you're doing this?
No. So, Norm knows this, but we were singing yesterday. I heard the same thing in my voice because I'm battling this week. A bit of a cold. And I'm here, of course.
No carbs, too, is not helping you.
Yeah, right? No carbs. I'm battling a cold. And my singing voice, my screaming voice, it's not all here.
Well, on the flip side is, at least like Jake must have some minty fresh breath.
Always has minty fresh breath.
He's got some supply of Altoids behind him, I noticed.
Jake, we noticed this when you were out, right behind you, on that bottom shelf. Oh, yeah. How are you, sir?
Nobody can see it behind me. I order in bulk to save money. Here, I'll move it.
I respect it, man. I order everything in bulk.
Well, for the thing, it's really hard to find the cinnamon ones. It's really hard to find them. So when I got them on Amazon, so I was like, I'll get a 24-pack.
Jake, I will say this. Cinnamon, yeah. By far the best flavor.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And you don't find it. You go to Walmart, you go to Walgreens, all the stuff. They always have the peppermint and then the other mint, like a wintergreen mint or something like that. And it's impossible to find cinnamon.
My favorite is Mentos, and it was a wonderful commercial back in the day.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I remember my parents used to have Altoids, right? And it felt like, for whatever reason, I wasn't allowed to have an Altoid. It felt like it was like an adult mint. So like, if I was ever, because they thought maybe it has to be too hot. I don't know.
My mom always has that small little
Altoids. Yo, of course. That was always it. So when I finally was able to get the Altoid, it was like an adult moment for me. I finally was able to have the Altoid.
Now how long have you been doing no carbs, Altoids, by the way?
I'm doing no carbs for Passover because I'm not allowed to have carbs.
No, so I was saying how long?
Since Friday night.
Okay. Since I was going to say, usually right about, you should probably feel a little bit better tomorrow. I've done the keto was no carbs. I did that for my stuff. But anyway, to move on from that, the first 24 to 36 hours, I have no idea where your energy goes. It feels like you have like 20 minutes the night before. It's a terrible feeling.
Well, you know what? I feel fine because like you do it every year. But to me, I don't even care. Like for dinner last night, I had a chicken and rice. It was fine. It's just normal dinner I would have on a normal night.
Well, rice is carbs.
Yeah, I can have rice though. It's flour. It's no flour.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's not really no carbs.
What?
It's Tuesday. What is Tuesday?
Oh, it's Taco Tuesday. So I can have tacos because the shells are made out of corn. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed. So Judy's having dinner with her friends tonight. So I might have to push Taco Tuesday to Taco Wednesday or Thursday.
I think the wife is making Taco Tuesday.
Oh, please.
I bought all the supplies yesterday.
I wanted to make sure you bought them right.
I'm actually a better cook than her. She's not a good cook.
So why don't you cook the tacos?
It may have to come down to that.
I was honestly, Matt, I was literally thinking about this today. I was like, wait a minute. All the ingredients in tacos, I can eat all that. We will be doing tacos this week. And I promise you, I will text a picture to Matt Modica of my tacos. But you're not here to hear about my eating and my no-carb diet for this week, which is terrible. But it's only terrible because, like, I know I can't eat it, right? Like, I have a salad. I normally get a cracker or a piece of bread. Can't do it. That's where it, like, kills me. I want to go home and have some pretzels. I can't go home and have any pretzels.
That's like getting a chicken burrito bowl from Chipotle and not getting the warm tortilla.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. But you're not here to listen about that. You are here to hear what's going on with Kenley Jansen. I think that's the biggest story in baseball right now. I know we've had some guys go on the DL over the last hour. We'll get to Nelson Cruz here in a bit. But Kenley Jansen, people woke up, and once I got to work, because some people are just waking up is when I get to work, but I just get to work, I'm getting text messages. What's going on with Kenley? What's wrong with Kenley? Should I pick up Josh Fields? I'm like, what? I go, whoa, what is going on? So I check Twitter, I check the box scores and whatnot, and I'm like, all right, so Kenley's not doing great. Velocity is down. Something seems off. So everyone jumps to conclusions. He's injured. Okay. Fine. Dave Roberts immediately comes out and says, our staff says he's fine. Rick Honeycutt, longtime pitching coach, in LA. He and Kenley Jansen, they're like, all right, we got to work out some mechanics. People are freaking out, Jake, about Kenley Jansen today. Overrated? Is there a reason? Overreaction Tuesday, if you will? Should people be nervous about the best closer in baseball? It was just a couple days ago, and I know Matt Modica does it all the time. In these NFBC leagues where there's a grand prize, he's taking Kenley Jansen in the third round. So should Matt, Jake, be worried?
I'll give it a 3 out of 10 at this point, only because, okay, look, this is the concerns we have with Kenley Jansen in the World Series last year. You look at he gave up the home runs. He lost the game and blew a save, or actually blew two saves. Whatever it was, he has two poor outings in the World Series, just like he has so far to start this season, is two poor outings. And he said it's just one game. Well, Kenley, it's actually two. You gave up a game-tying home run to Joe Panic, then you took it on the chin last night. So this is two now, and it's from Kenley Jansen, who was supposed to be the top of the list, better than anybody, better than Kimbrel, better than Chapman, better than anybody else out there. So you have to have a little bit of concern. It's still early. The only reason it's a 3 and not a 1 is because it happened in the World Series, and maybe there's something lingering over there. At least forget about injuries. Obviously, if it's an injury, that's going to be the clearest tell-all. Something's wrong, and he's nursing something. But I think for the fact that it's such a long layoff between the World Series and now, we would have heard something if it truly was an injury. So let's go the other route with it. Maybe batters are starting to pick something up that he's doing. You said, part of the team that came out and said, it's mechanical. Let's work on this. Maybe he's flashing something. Maybe he's showing something. Maybe one of his pitches isn't there. Maybe the speed, like you said, is not there, and he's leaving the fastball flat. I don't know specifically. I haven't seen enough myself to be like, I would never even say I'm on that upper echelon of being able to break down a pitcher from one showing to say, ooh, I noticed that. But the point is, you have to be mildly concerned. It's still early, but for him saying it's only one game, I also think that's kind of going the other direction. Is, let's be realistic, it is a little bit of concern.
Maybe, 3 out of 10 seems very, very fair, but I'm not really concerned, Jake, and Matt, for that matter. The first game, the Joe Panic thing, he threw a bad pitch, the guy launched it. It happens, right? Like, Mariano Rivera left solo home runs all the time. I mean, it happens. Last night, he got bombed. And I was listening to Carton and Friends before, and a lot of it was going crazy over the Yankees and their bullpen, and oh my God, they're 2-2. And I'm not freaking out about the Yankees, I'm the Yankee fan. Like, whatever, the 2-2, who cares? I feel the same way about Kenley Jansen. Like, all right, he left a home run in his first start. I know he doesn't do that. He threw a bad pitch. It happens. It's the first day of the regular season. It's not that warm out. He hasn't pitched in months. Fine. He gets bombed. Okay. He just didn't have it. Maybe there's a small mechanical issue. I'm not running to the free agent wire to worry about Josh Fields right now. I'm not running looking for an injury. He had a bad couple games. It happens to me. Felipe Rivero, who's not Kenley Jansen, gets bombed. You know what he does in his next outing? Pitches twice in one day. It was great.
And here's the look. I own Kenley in like 3 overalls. One's a draft champion, one's an auction championship, and the other one's the online championship. The thing here, like what you referenced about Felipe Rivero, he was throwing 95 on opening day. He was throwing 98 on Sunday.
Okay.
Kenley's throwing, 90 or something like that when he was throwing the, 93 with that pitch. So the velocity is a major concern. I mean, I woke up, I did not see this last night. It was like I was still living in, in some kind of nightmare. I was terrified, but, seeing this again. Maybe you thought the first outing, like you said, the spring training was fine, whatever, 5-6 innings he pitched and all that. His dominance over the last 2 seasons has been, elite of elite. Like, he is that tier. That's how good he's been. And I know I heard the other day, I think it was Spora saying that, maybe the last couple of seasons he was kind of a little off in this year because of the depth in the playoff runs. Mm-hmm. So, if you have that, I know Rob Silver's been against drafting a closer in the third round and stuff. His ADP among main events, the 34 main events that occurred in the National Baseball Championship, which is 15 team leagues, is 42. So that's like the end of the third round. He went in the fourth round in some as well. At that range, that wasn't a bad pick heading in. Unless you knew this velocity was down, I'm concerned about Kershaw after that first start. I mean, he only gave up the one run.
Yep.
But if his velocity, if he's going to be pitching at 90 or between 90 and 91 and not around 92, 93, that's a difference. You know, there is concern there.
Kershaw's a really another really good example. Just
and he's pitching tonight, right?
Yeah, he's pitching tonight, absolutely. Velocity-wise, Jake, right? Kershaw's at 90, 91, and they were talking on the game, I think it was A-Rod and crew that had it, that he's going to have to, because this is Kershaw, he's going to have to become like CC and learn how to use both sides of the plate. I read a long article about Kershaw in that like he pitches inside more than any pitcher in baseball. And in that first start, the guys were getting there. And when he was pitching on the, he has to work on both sides of the plate. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's the first game of the season, all right? He's not throwing 100 miles per hour. That's fine. Like, let's hold our horses here with Kershaw. Hold our horses a little bit with Kelly Jansen. Maybe I'm just too much on the other side of it. I'm just not worried yet.
See, that's the thing. It's, you have to understand when it comes to fantasy, whether it's baseball or football, nobody wants to be left holding it once the value's gone. Like that's the biggest concern. Is that this is the reason we have the overreaction in baseball every single year for the first week, is because everybody's thinking worst case scenario. Everybody's thinking at some point everybody's lost it, and nobody wants to be the person that's stuck with the person that's lost it and have no value and not been able to do anything about it. Because then it's either suck it up and sell low, which sometimes you have to do, or you just sit on it for the entire year, and then the person never bounces back, and all of a sudden it's like, God, I wasted this draft pick, I wasted this value and everything. This is the biggest thing we say every year. The draft's over. There's nothing you could do about the draft and what you paid at this point. It is still the first week. It is still the first start for Clayton Kershaw. Let's talk 3 weeks from now. When we get, like, I know a lot of people, you'll get a lot of people that argue, wait until May. I'm one of the people who say you can't wait that long if you want to make a move. You can go both ways. It could bite you. You could get the reward of saying, I'm not going to wait that long on a move after 3 weeks, potentially sell low and then potentially get bit in the butt if the person rebounds. I think 3 weeks is fair enough to get that deep into the season, but that's 3 weeks. That's not one. Let's at least get there before we start to say, oh my God, Clayton Kershaw's topping out at 91. Oh my God, Kenley Jansen has blown his sixth save of the season already. Like, let's chill just a little bit before we get to that point.
Well, and I'm always the one that overreacts immediately, right? Like, I'm the guy that wanted to drop Yasmani Tomas.
No, we won really? Last
year. I'm admitting it. I played a daily transaction league. So
hold on.
What?
It's Matthew Boyd Day. He went 3-up, 3 down. Where's Nando celebrating?
I'm so much more interested in Jake Junis Day than I am in Matt Boyd Day.
Oh, really?
For the record.
I'm more in Matt Boyd Day.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? People were talking about this downstairs before we came on the air. Oh, it's Matt Boyd Day. Well, you know what? It's also Jake Junis Day.
Well, I never knew it was either day for either one of
I'm
those.
I'm with you, Chris.
Thanks,
you know,
Jake.
But
anyway, so I'm the one, admittedly, that overreacts immediately, right? Like, I wanted to drop Lewis Brinson. When everyone else on his team got a hit, he went 0-for-5. I was like, are you kidding me? That was it. That's me, and I know that. But it's weird, Matt, for me to be the one to be like, let's relax here a little bit. Because these are your top players. Like, if you are a Kenley owner, you're a Kenley Jansen owner, would you quietly place him on the market right now? See what you can
if
get.
I want to get something. Look, I know I'm not getting the same value back. If you gave me like
If you could trade Kenley Jansen for Aroldis Chapman right now, would you do it?
I would do it.
You do it.
Now, yep. I'm concerned about the velocity. I mean, I want something like that. Chapman, Rivero, even a Diaz.
So you would trade for Rivero right now, too.
I'm worried. Look, velocity.
Edwin Diaz right now.
Velocity is the one concern. It's not like, you know, he's just. It's velocity. Velocity, it's like in the real estate, it's location.
Right, of course.
Pitching, that's the mantra. Velocity. Maybe it's just a mechanical thing. But if I can get an Aroldis Chapman right now, who I had as my third reliever,
yep.
I'm going to do it. And it may bite me, but I feel confident in Chapman.
I had them in the same tier, so that's fine. But you said two other names, Felipe Rivero and Edwin Diaz. You would do
Rivero,
that right now.
Diaz would be the bottom, like, you know, one. I would do it for Rivero, though.
You would do it for Rivero right now.
And like I said, the difference with Rivero was, after that first day, 95, then he's hitting 98. That shows me, okay, whatever. It was that first game, maybe a little rust or whatever. Jitters, cold, Detroit, however, you know, I'll make whatever excuse to fit my
narrative,
here. Yeah. But to me, that does have a thing. And you can't wait. I'm not saying drop everybody for 2 weeks. I'm not going to do that. Certain players. But if there's a reason why then it becomes more evident.
Jake, you just said his first strikeout. Are we announcing those too?
No. But that's nice to say. So to continue with this, this is the argument that I've always made in my columns as well. I'm 100% with Matt. What I've always said is that if you want to get out on these players and you get draft value, then go ahead and do it. If you are concerned, same thing with fantasy football. If after game one, somebody doesn't look right or something, but you're getting draft value, then you're getting what you paid. And if you want to get rid of the risk, go right ahead and do it. That's understandable. Just don't sell low after one performance. All that being said, Greg Jewett, I just saw a tweet that was retweeted by somebody else talking about the mechanics, and he did a chart of his horizontal and vertical release point, that talking about Kenley Jansen, and his vertical release point is down almost a half of a foot from spring to what happened in the first two performances so far this year. He's saying that he's buying into that him and the pitching coach are making that it is mechanical, and maybe that's what we're looking at. Half a foot doesn't sound like, 6 inches doesn't sound like a lot to us, but it is mechanical. That is a significant difference for a pitcher. This is something to watch. If you're not going to get Aroldis Chapman, you do have to hang on. I'm with Matt. I still am concerned about the velocity, but sometimes a change in where you're releasing it can affect your velocity. This is the change. To make a good comparison, we go back to Luis Severino last year. The big change that he made is he was stepping closer to home plate. The ball's coming out closer to the batter. The ball's also coming out a little bit higher velocity because he's holding on to it for that extra half a second or whatever you want to say. So if you're looking at this, it could be just mechanical. So here is a little hope for those people if you aren't able to move him.
And real quick, what Jake is saying here, the difference is now, if you trade him today for Aroldis Chapman, if his next outing he goes out and gets blasted again, you're not getting Aroldis Chapman. That's the window you have right now.
Yeah.
Window is the next start. If it's bad, you're not getting
it. Would either of you guys buy Kenley Jansen right now?
I mean, it depends on what the bylaw is.
Edwin Diaz, would you, if you're an Edwin Diaz owner, would you trade him for Kenley Jansen right now?
Right now, no.
Jake?
I would.
You would. Okay. So there you go. Let's take a break.
Naris Vizcaino, I would have.
We'll give you some injury updates, including on Nelson Cruz, Jake Lamb, and a couple Yankee notes, too. Stick around. There's more FST on FNTSY coming up.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends.
Everybody get up. Oh,
we was jamming
God.
To the song.
We was jamming. You just went screech.
I wouldn't know I was going to pick it up. And then I want to send my junk shot to your phone, Michelle Serpico. Can I send a junk shot to your phone? God.
You sound like my rabbi trying to
Sorry.
I'm sorry for you.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards Program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Up out of there.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Light that up, Slim. Why you acting like
that? So good news. I just snuck into the bar, took the iPad, and now I have Jake Junis right in front of me. Look at that, Matt. Turn to your left. There you go. Could have been more prime. To the left, it's Jake Junis and Matt Boyd. To the right, it's Matt and I. Pretty perfect. I'm not staring at something. Turn your mic on.
I thought I did turn it on. I started off with it off. I thought I hit the button, but I was confused. I thought that, you know, that is Matt Boyd.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's Junis?
Junis is on the other side. He's pitching against Matt Boyd.
Oh, okay.
And then next to them is us.
There you go.
It's the important stuff. All right.
That's why I was a little off.
Before we came on the air, Nelson Cruz hits the DL after what? Tripping down the stairs after a home run. Pretty standard injury. But the good news is,
yeah, there is good news.
But the good news is, maybe he'd be out for a couple of days, retroactive obviously to April 1st, but they were going to a National League Park anyway. And Nelson Cruz, you'd see some at bats, maybe in the outfield, maybe not, as a pinch hitter, sure. But the Mariners are basically using this as an opportunity to say, listen, get healthy, we're going to the National League anyway, we'll see you in a couple of days.
Yeah, no, but I think the biggest beneficiary here is Dan Vogelbach. Let him get some at bat. There's no excuse now. I mean, I know in the National League Park, yes, but once they go back to the American League, the kid hit 7 home runs. I know it's only spring training, but this kid's always been known as a bat in the minor leagues. Give him the opportunity. Hopefully, I'm glad they put him on the DL and they didn't try to play games with Cruz, because at 38, hopefully it's just a minor ankle sprain, nothing severe. You need him because he had the groin thing in spring training. You got to be careful with somebody of this age.
Absolutely. That was one, Jake, that's one of the things ultimately that concerns us, right, about Nelson Cruz. Given his age, you're more, theoretically, more susceptible to injury. Cruz trips after a home run and now is on the DL for a few days.
Well, this is kind of similar to Sammy Sosa, and nobody believes, you know, sneezing and throwing his back out situation.
Right.
But, you know, at his age, you know, you slip down the dugout. This isn't the first person to have this injury. It's
right.
Just where his age is. And, but the fact is, you know what I'm going through is I keep saying his age, but let's go back to when there wasn't the 10-day DL. That he really does hit the DL if it wasn't just 10 days. And to what you said, they are headed to the National League. I'm with Matt. I wish it was Dan Vogelbach Day, and I wish we could get some excitement about that, but sure. I just don't know if we're going to have enough time between the trip to the NL, between the fact that they can retro it back to April 1st, where the fact is, I mean, we might get a game or two of Vogelbach in the lineup before we actually have Cruz coming back.
Yeah, that's a really good point as
this
well.
This actually is, for Nelson Cruz, maybe he can get an ad going. Like, he can become a spokesperson. Do a little life alert, you know, falling down the stairs, he's getting older. Hit the button. Boom.
Love it. Love it. So also last night we find out that Jake Lamb hurt himself too. As much as I miss this Kelly Jansen stuff, I also totally miss this Jake Lamb stuff where he kind of hurt his shoulder earlier in the game, re-aggravated it later, and now is going to be seen by the doctor today. We'll have an update before the game. Certainly don't want anything to happen to Jake Lamb.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know any Jake Lamb this year. I loved him last year. You know, Lamb tacos and all that. It was fun to do.
It is Taco Tuesday.
He just can't hit left-handed pitching.
Right.
And there was enough third baseman where I was getting them that I was, you know, happy at that position. The injury of note last night, though the x-rays came back negative, was Will Myers for me.
Well, yeah, so we'll get to Will Myers in just a second. But, Jake, for Jake Lamb, I don't know if you own any shares, but I do. And hopefully the shoulder injury is not that serious.
Yeah, hopefully not. I actually don't. That's surprising to me because he was one of those players that seems to happen every single year where I'm higher than everybody else,
right,
than most everybody else on a player. Like, I was one of those people that said, I'm not worried about Jake Lamb and the humidor. I'm not worried about the power. The power is going to play. Even if you take off 5 to 10 feet off his home runs, he's still hitting them clear over the fence. He's not hitting a lot of wall scrapers. You know, maybe he loses 2 to 3 home runs over the entire course of the season. So just looking at my rankings versus everybody else, I was higher than most everybody. But I think it was just the way that this is what happens in snake drafts, is the way that you attack a draft personally. That once a player like Jake Lamb was coming around off the board, I was looking for different positions. And a lot of times I fell into not getting Jake Lamb. So I'm with you. I hope, just because I like to be right, I hope he's fine.
Right.
And I think, yeah, you know, he still hits 30 home runs. So we'll just be watching the scene. It doesn't sound like it's too serious.
Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. I wasn't the big Jake Lamb guy by any means. He was one of these guys that kind of just fell in my lap into the draft. How is Jake Lamb still there?
I mean, he did fall. Like Jake mentioned about the humidor, but it wasn't just the humidor. It was before the humidor
definitely
happened.
Definitely.
It's just his inability versus left-handed pitching has become so stark.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you mentioned Will Myers' injury. Now, Will Myers left the game a couple of days ago with an injury as Jorge Soler brings in Chester Cuthbert, which means Matt Boyd is down 1-0. Jake Junis is up 1-0.
And can I just mention how I was throwing expletives at Greg Amsinger last night? Because Will Myers had homered already in the game.
Yes.
Coming up, Will Myers, like, making it like he's getting
second. Can he do it again?
And like he kind of like led that it was a home run, and I'm getting like, oh, then I see bases loaded, and I see the shot.
And you're like, ooh.
And then Charlie Blackman.
I think you didn't check your phone.
I guess I could turn my feet off.
So am I ahead of you?
I was going to say, yeah, by about 3 or 4 seconds.
Sorry. So Will Myers hurt his back over the weekend. Left the game over the weekend. Comes back into the lineup last night. Immediately hits that home run. And then he has to leave the game. Who is this? Weird. And then he has to leave the game due to tricep soreness. As you said, Matt, he had the x-rays, ultrasound. Everything was negative. But I do wonder if the back injury is somehow related to the tricep soreness, if there's something there. That's two injuries that I think can be related. I think there's definite concern when it comes to Will Myers.
I'm concerned. Yeah. I mean, look, you said, because it was a back, now it's a tricep, so it sounds like something's going on. I don't know what. Hopefully, just, you know, tweak something and it's not severe.
Yeah, 100%. Jake, right, I'm not crazy thinking the back and tricep soreness could be related, right?
No, 100%. Yeah. It could be related because you're overcompensating for an injury, but I mean, you do something. Because you alleviating the pain of where it's coming from, and you overexert yourself somewhere else. This is actually how I tore my rotator cuff in my arm when I was in high school, is the fact that I had something. My entire family's got like back issues, but like I overexerted my arm, making up for pushing off and going through my lower back and twisting it like basically the rotation of your hips, and end up overthrowing my arm. And that's just what happens. So that being said, is if it is his back and he's swinging more with his arms than actually getting his core and rotating through, that's a concern. Because even if the tricep, as you said, isn't a major concern, if he's back in the lineup in 2 or 3 days, which I actually still am a little bit concerned with the tricep. Triceps is a significant part of it, matter. But that all being said, even if he's back in 2-3 days, it makes me think, well, maybe this back issue is going to linger all year long. And, you know, next week he's on the 10-day DL because of the back, and then he comes back and he throws something else out. Like, a good comparison, remember Jose Reyes about 6 or 7 years ago when he was nursing the hamstring and then hurt his calf because he was running differently and then hurt his quad because, like, it was always something else because he was overcompensating? I'm concerned that we could be dealing with this for the entire year.
Yeah, 100%, totally agree. I thought the Reyes comparison was actually a good one. So, speaking of injuries, let's go to the Yankees, right, where they've had a ton of injuries to this outfield in particular, from Jacoby Ellsbury and Clint Frazier in spring to later on Aaron Hicks immediately following. Now, we talked about the Yankees yesterday or Friday. We're trying to pull it apart and what to break it down.
That could have been a starting lineup for other teams outfield.
You're right, 100%.
Yeah.
And we were trying.
Well, I was talking about Hicks. I think I was going to say Hicks is kind of like Syndergaard, in my opinion. Because nobody was like, why is that not, it could be what happened? The dude bulked up ridiculously this offseason. Is maybe like this is the Syndergaard thing, is you went too far.
It's very possible. So when we were talking about, I think we were talking about waivers, and we were doing it Friday, Jake, like, which guys we would want. And I stayed away from the Yankees guys, and I stayed away from Andujar and Tyler Austin, because I felt like Ellsbury would be back Thursday, and I thought there was too much here to try to properly figure out. Well, not so much. Jacoby Ellsbury, who's battling an oblique injury, re-injured his hip this week, which means he's going to be shut down for a few days or weeks or something. And much like the triceps in the back, I'm pretty confident saying that the oblique has something to do with the hip. Like, you're turning the wrong way, you're overcompensating, something like that.
He's like the Samuel L. Jackson character in Unbreakable.
Exactly. Not a great follow-up to The Sixth Sense, by the way, by M. Night Shyamalan. So Ellsbury's not coming back anytime soon. Clint Frazier has been, according to Aaron Boone, running the bases, tracking pitches, whatever that means, and was hitting batting practice a week or so ago.
Is this extended spring training?
Not yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah, I know.
So he should be back up and running sometime soon, which somehow makes the center fielder that's going to be back with the Yankees soonest Aaron Hicks. After all of that, Aaron Hicks, who has an intercostal strain, not an oblique strain, an intercostal strain, He's going to hit off the tee. He's going to throw later today. He says he feels fine. He was put on the DL over the weekend. He could be back as soon as next week.
I'm praying for that. I have him in a couple of big leagues. I thought the price, he was like a 14th rounder, so 13th, 14th round guy, and you figured he was get hit somewhere good in that lineup. His defense is superb, so he's going to play every day once given the nod. Once he had a coach commit to him to do that, he does offer pop. He does offer you the ability to steal 15 or so bases. So I didn't see what there wasn't to like, except what was priced in as well was the injury risk, because he has been injured.
Yeah. Jake, obviously you brought up Aaron Hicks. Nick Castellanos strikes out. Another strikeout for Jake Junis. You wrote up Aaron Hicks.
I had my shape.
And bulking up too much. When he comes back, can he stay healthy?
That's a big question. This is starting to be a continuous issue with him. This isn't the first time he's had injuries. This is the first time that he's had multiple injuries in the same year. So, I would love to get Aaron Hicks for 140 games. Not even 150, just 140 games. I think if you look at the fact that what he's prospect as going back and looking at him is somebody who could provide at least four categories, probably five for you. Nothing super elite, but good production across the board. He bulked up, as I said. You know what? I'd be happy if you get 100 games out of him at this point.
Wow. Okay. So you're happy for 100 games. Wow. Okay.
No, Jake's right. There is risk in him. Look, it's happened time and time again. Even remember last year when he was on such a roll, and then he got hurt again, and then it starts off this year. So it's very discouraging if you do own him.
No, absolutely. Brutal. Another injury, as we're taking a look, is Jake Jr. allows his first hit. Damn it. Was Royals
to
first...
the shift.
Yeah, right? Was first baseman Lucas Duda. And Duda was off to a solid start on the year. He left last night's game with a hamstring injury. And we didn't see him in the lineup today. Like, all right, makes sense. They're facing the lefty. Ned Yost is going to go with that lefty-righty thing. But he said earlier that he may miss the entire weekend. That's what Ned Yost said. Because, well, that hamstring injury is a little bit more serious than originally thought. Could Lucas Duda be DL-bound, Matt?
I mean, it could. Look, Duda, for fantasy, the appeal is the 30 home runs if he gets the at-bats and stuff. I know some people really like Lucas Duda as a player. I get the OBP aspect of it, that he gets on base. But as far as if you're in a batting average league, what is the upside as an average? 250?
Right.
That's why he's an end of, you know, he's a reserve round guy, a dollar, make you holler, as Corey would say, kind of player. So, look, if he does go in the DL, I'm going to be curious to see if Hunter Dozier gets a call and they start playing him at first base. Because he looks like he's going to be the guy they're going to try and go with the future and use him as a first baseman.
Now, speaking of first baseman, these corner guys, there was one that I was really, really high on, Jake, this offseason, and it was Yonder Alonso. I believe in Yonder Alonso. I thought, Matt, you and I talked a lot about this. Going to Cleveland, finally being in a good lineup, in a good ballpark, all is going to be right. The first couple of days, Yonder's been really, really good, Jake.
It's been Yonder Alonso. The fact is, this goes all the way back to the fact of what Saris from Fangraphs and now of The Athletic did for him. They wrote an article and about the launch angle, which is what a lot of batters are looking at and the major league players are looking at nowadays. Is that's how you beat the shift. That's how you become a better hitter, is just becoming more attentive and looking deeper into these metrics like launch angle. And that's one thing, is it's really clicked for him. And he's been a much better hitter since. And it's not that the fact that he never had the talent there. It's just he went from not putting so many on the ground to line drives and getting that ball up in the air and hitting to the gaps and so forth, and getting a lot of power behind it as well. Yonder Alonso is somebody who I expect a very similar season to last year, and that season last year was a top 15 first baseman.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the good thing with Yonder was he went to progressive field, which left-handed power plays very well.
Sure.
And I think for the Indians, it was a great trade-off. And look, Carlos Santana is a good player. I wouldn't have gave him 3 years, $20 million per.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Phillies, I think it upset their team, their team construct. Not that he's not a good player. I don't think he was a guy I'm going to spend $20 million on. But, you moved Hoskins to the outfield. You got Williams and Altair. You made your team much less athletic. And then you got a guy like Kingery now who's signed and he's going to be playing all over. So for Yonder, yeah, I could see another 270, 280-ish, 20-something home runs.
That's a good year. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good year. And we talked about contracts before and how Lance Lynn's agent needed to be fired, and Alex Cobb's agent needs a raise. I feel the same way about Yonder Alonso, right? Like, Yonder Alonso signed so early in the offseason, he has like 2 for $16, and you know what? That's a pretty fair offer for Yonder Alonso. And then the guys like Lucas Duda and Logan Morrison go for nothing 6 months later. Well, or 3 months later,
right? But yeah, I mean, Lucas Duda, I mean, not for nothing. Were you really going to commit to this guy? At least Logan Morrison's coming off a 40 home run season. I could kind of get behind that, but I'm really still not a big Logan Morrison guy.
Sure. I just thought it was interesting that Yonder Alonso was able to get that while other corner.
Well, because I think he didn't overplay the market.
You're
he got the right.
right
deal and said, look, you know what? I did have a major improvement last year. I didn't sustain it throughout, but you know what? I'll take these 2 years and see if I can work. If not, say he fails, he's $16 million richer. And where he was going before last year, that seemed like that was never happening.
Totally agree. Speaking of corner infielders, do have a note for you. Giants and Mariners are playing this afternoon, 4:30. Brandon Belt, speaking of corner infielders, out of the lineup today. He gets a day off. Buster Posey is going to play first and bat cleanup. Nick Hundley is going to get the start at catcher for the Giants. On the other side, for the Mariners, is Mitch Haniger now batting cleanup with Nelson Cruz out of the lineup. No Dan Vogelbach, as is obviously is in a National League Park.
Good for Mitch Haniger.
So no Dan Vogelbach. It's Ryan Healy once again starting at first. Guillermo Heredia starting in left field.
Yeah, they got a hole in the outfield. I know they were counting on it. Was Ben Gamel to be one of the starters and stuff? But the guy I'm really going to root for here is Mitch Haniger.
Same.
It seemed last year there were good things happening, and he just continually got injured as well. He's another guy that seems to only get like 200 or so at-bats a year or plate appearances, whatever you want to say. So if he can be healthy, obviously if Cruz comes back, he's not going to bat fourth, but having him in that mix is a good spot.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, let's talk about some of these performances from last night, including Sean Newcomb. Is everyone all out all of a sudden after one disastrous performance? Matt's shaking his head no. We'll see what Jake thinks when we come back. Stick around. So much more on FST, on FNTSY.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy.
Are you guys going to be upset that the Pirates crowd and stadium cheered for Moran for coming up for his next at bat?
Why would we be upset for cheering the player on?
Because he got a curtain call. So why are you going to cheer him when he's coming up for his next at bat?
I didn't even say he shouldn't have gotten a curtain call. All I said was that all grand slams shouldn't have curtain calls.
If I was a Pirate fan, I would be cheering the guy. I just don't know that a grand slam on opening day warrants a curtain call.
No, grand slam every day deserves a curtain call. Right.
Weekdays on FNTSY Radio and live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.
I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, he is.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
We're talking trash.
Sweet, sweet trash.
So there's this massive rugby player that a bunch of scouts went to look at. He did a workout for the NFL. Jordan Malita. He's 20 years old, 6'8", 346-pound Samoan rugby player.
Wow.
He plays for a team in Sydney, Australia, but he ran 5'12 in the 40. Is that good? I don't even know.
No. He's slower than Tom Brady.
They think he's going to go in the draft.
Where is he going to play?
I don't know.
Defensive tackle.
Interesting, man. That's he's a big boy.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran?
Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
Cool pitching performances last night. I want to take note. We're going to do a lot of this on BFFs later. I know Frank wanted to get to quite a bit of these guys. A lot of fifth starters pitched last night. So some guys we were definitely watching on. So, oh, I thought they were going to make a list for me. Didn't. But I know there's a lot of players that Frank's interested in talking about. Let me talk about two from last night that I wanted to mention on this show with you guys. And I'll start with Sean Newcomb. Jake, we had the conversation a lot toward the end of spring training. Jake Junius or Sean Newcomb? Sean Newcomb or Jake Junius? And you always said very adamantly, Sean Newcomb. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, obviously, after one start. You didn't?
No.
Oh.
Jake Junius is higher.
Really?
I was on Sean Newcomb.
Oh, I thought you had Newcomb higher.
I would take Newcomb higher.
I really thought you had Newcomb higher, Jake.
I'm pretty sure they're back-to-back. Hold on. I'll double check for you.
Just on upside alone, I would go at that point, I would go with Newcomb.
I really thought you had Newcomb 12 spots higher or so. Maybe I guess I'm wrong.
No, actually, Newcomb 68, Jake Junius 71.
Oh, so three
back
spots.
Back to
higher.
Back.
So Newcomb was higher.
Yeah.
Newcomb was higher.
No. My point was, is like you made it sound like I had Newcomb worlds higher. Definitively higher.
I thought it was a little more than three spots, but nevertheless,
I didn't practice what I preached yesterday.
What do you mean?
And it kind of bit me. It's like with Fab when I walk away from the computer and then I go back and then I increase the bid and there was no reason to increase the bid. And
you go with your gut. Yeah.
Tweeted out yesterday morning. Look, as excited as I am, intrigued to see what Sean Newcomb could be.
Right.
I'm benching him this week. He's home.
Right. I saw that tweet.
Nationals.
Nationals and then Colorado. He said, I'm not doing it.
I kind of snuck him in a lineup too.
Because I saw that tweet.
I was like, son of a.
Show with your gut. That's the most frustrating part.
Oh, man.
So Newcomb gets rocked yesterday. Ball was flying out of the park. Bryce Harper just doing his thing.
That's still the best clip of the weekend. Overrated. Boom.
Boom. That crack, we heard it yesterday on BFFs. That crack of the bat was incredible. They did another one
yesterday.
It's got
to be a great feeling, though, when somebody yells that to you.
Right? Boom. So Newcomb gets rocked yesterday. Obviously not a great matchup for him. Any concern with Sean Newcomb, Jake?
It's the same concern we've always had. It's the walks. The strikeouts were there. If you do the ratio of what it would have been, it's only 12 per 9. Not that if he's going to strike out 12 per 9 for an entire season, it would be a starter. But if you look at the walks are also over 8 because he walked a lot of people in the few innings that he had. And then when he walks people, he has a little bit of trouble with the long ball. This has always been the concern with Sean Newcomb is he's got a very high ceiling. But he's got control issues. This is what you have to face here. If it wasn't for the fact that I was in a two-start week for him, I wouldn't have started. I would have done the same as Matt wanted to do it from yesterday. I put him out there because I was getting two starts, and it's a points head-to-head. Obviously, if you're looking at the rest of the season, at least for now, he's still a matchup play. You want to avoid a team like the Nationals. You want to avoid him when he goes to Colorado. You want to avoid him when he faces high-end offenses and go attack the teams that look for the teams with a high K percentage for their team. Because that means they'll swing at a lot more stuff. The problem is, like I said, if he can get the walks under control, if he can get control, he has the upside to be a top 35 pitcher. I don't necessarily think that'll happen this year. That's what I told you. What I have at 68, he's a nice piece, but that's you're looking at matchup plays. I still like him, but the control's an issue.
Yeah, I didn't put him in my top 60.
You did put him in your lineup.
But yeah, I did put him in my lineup. But look, that's the thing. He's a young pitcher. Control has always been his bugaboo. That has been his Achilles heel. And that's the thing with a lot of young pitchers. But like Jake said, if he clicks at some point, then it's going to be a nice profit, like you were talking about. It's where profit, you know, price points are where you make profit.
Sure.
And where you're able to get him. And look, I don't dislike Junis. But my argument would be for where they go is if you want just a safe guy, you go Junis. He's much more safer.
Okay.
But what's his upside, especially on that team? I don't draft a pitcher based on wins. But if you just, you have to look at it sometimes and say, well, look, Kansas City's really terrible. They're probably not going to win a lot of games this year.
They're beating that board right now.
And Atlanta has a good young team. Yeah. And this is a guy, as far as pedigree, just totally outshines Junis. So at that point in the draft, and rotation construction and how you've built your pitchers does come into thought. But for me, that's why I'd go on.
How about a pitcher on a team that's much better than the Braves and the Royals, and that's the Houston Astros? Last night, Charlie Morton, at 35 years old, was as dominant as I've ever seen Charlie Morton be. I was watching the game on MLB Network, and Eric Burns is being like, calling this dude like a Cy Young Award.
Well, come on, it's Eric Burns. Eric Burns is a little dramatical.
A little dramatic.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. He was going off at Charlie Morton as Cy Young stuff, and Brian Kenny's like, what the F is wrong with you, dude? Like that's the part where we got up to. And
Charlie Morton is perfect in this day and age of pitching where you want to limit the guy to five innings or so. We saw last year. He would get through the first four innings, that fifth inning if he got past that. But it was that sixth inning last year that he had problems with consistently. The playoffs, he was lights out. He was, you know, one of their MVPs last year for what he did against the Yankees. I mean, in the rotation, out of the bullpen, he really was such a crucial part. He was riding at 98 last night, which is fantastic. He's, what, 36 years old almost, so 30, at least 35. He's never really thrown over 130 innings. Can he do it this year? Is it wise for them to stretch him out that much? I don't know. I think I'd rather have Charlie Morton as a weapon in the postseason than throughout the season where they have so much depth.
Jake?
I don't really have much to add to that. I'm serious. I don't have anything to put on top of that. There's nothing left.
Okay, so there you go. That's Charlie Morton. Let me go from the guy Matt and I were speaking about during the break then, Jake, and that's Lance McCullers. And Matt was kind of unsure when all was said and done with what you do with Lance McCullers. I know you are a Lance McCullers guy. This Houston Astros team very, very stacked in the rotation. Lance McCullers and that curveball were filthy over the weekend.
Yeah, so what's the question here?
I'll frame the question. It's like when I was watching, I saw only a little of it because I was pretty much out and about running errands. But between the curveball, the changeup now, and it's just, look, if he's healthy, he's possibly one of the top 10 best pitchers in baseball. But for me, and I was buying him a lot early on, he started moving up a bit later, and I wasn't getting him. So I do have some FIRMO later on Lance McCullers. I have shares, but I want more shares than what I have, and especially in my bigger leagues where I wasn't able to get him. To me, the one thing that did scare me was they're so deep with a Brad Peacock mm-hmm. and a...
Chris Davinsky.
Davinsky, McHugh, Colin McHugh as well, that if he gets hurt again or, you know, starts having these problems, control issues or something, at some point he can become a bullpen arm. I mean, I know that's crazy to say, but, you know, when you pitch in 100 innings or 118 innings and then like the third year, at some point teams are going to get frustrated. And this is a team that has everything right now. So, but, I mean, he just looked absolutely filthy. Him, and then when you added on Garrett Cole on Sunday, you know, it's hard not to predict the Astros to be in the World Series again.
Well, they also, you got to remember the Astros, because they are playing for October, not even if he gets hurt, right? Like, they may want to limit him a little bit, and because they have these other options, they have the ability to do that. With a Colin McHugh, with a Brad Peacock, and so on and so forth.
He's not going to the bullpen.
All right.
He doesn't fit the bullpen. That's the issue with him. Some pitchers. I understand what you're saying for the concern of the injuries, and that's always going to be a concern with mm-hmm. McCullers. But once he comes back, I don't put it this way. He's not going to get wally pit by the rest of the people on this team, and that's, I think, what you're saying is your concern, Matt. And I understand it. It's just McCullers doesn't fit the bullpen. There's some people that are out there, you know, you look at, go back to, like, when they tried to do it with, like, Kazmir for a time, or, like, even Victor Zambrano, and it's just because of, like, what their style is. He's not somebody that you can come out really and put him in a bullpen and say, all right, now go give us two innings. I don't think he's suited for that. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he does have the makeup for it, and he can change what he does. If I look at the pitcher right now, I don't think he fits being a bullpen arm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't, look, it would take a lot for him to put him into the bullpen, But the fact that we saw how good Brad Peacock was, and say he does get injured again, there's not going to be that rush that they have to have him back in there, especially if Peacock steps in and does what Brad Peacock did last year. So, I mean, that's more of my concerns. And with, that's why I think Peacock is a good option on this to own as a multiple reliever, because, first off, Charlie Morton's got to get past 130 innings. Kyle McHugh, Lance McCullers. I mean, look, McCullers, I put him 24 because I felt he had to be in, say, a 12-team league, like a back, like the very end of the number two. Because the talent is just so, even though he hasn't put the innings there, it's that good.
We're going to wrap up YouTube now. We appreciate you watching and checking out our videos and doing so every day. We hope to be back on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube channel later this week. We're hanging
out. Let our people go.
Let our people go, indeed. Coming up next on this very channel will be the BFFs. Of course, stay tuned on the radio side as well. BFFs will be live at 2. It'll be Frankie and myself. Ray Austin will join the program. We all talked to Ray Austin late last week, and we're doing it again now because Ray was so cool to talk to. So we'll talk to Ray in a little bit. So goodbye, YouTube. Goodbye to all our streaming services, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook. Live as well. We'll see you tomorrow. On the radio, we still have about 5 minutes or so remaining here. And I wanted to get into a couple of more things before we wrapped up. And that was actually at the catcher position, where early on, some of the guys that you waited on, and we all said to wait on, they've come through. Wilson Ramos, Beef Castillo, Yasmani Grandal, Matt, all three of those guys getting the job done.
Well, I mean, Ramos, Beef, who was the, Yasmani?
Yes, sir.
Yasmani, I think the only thing with him was going to be the playing time. A lot of people worried that early Austin on, Barnes was going to take it. But Grandal's like the best framer in the game, so I think he's safe now. But the other two, and Wilson Ramos and Abeef, they were more of, you know, after that 10th round, maybe 11, 12, 13, people were starting to get involved with catchers. Those were the guys they were going at. I mean, what is Wellington Castillo do? He hits like 15 to 18 homers a year. I mean, that's what the guy does no matter what team he's on. He's in a good park again. Wilson Ramos is just a really good hitter. He's just been, you know, injuries, kidnaps, and, you know, all that horrible stuff, you know, and that was a look, he was going to be a free agent coming off of an insanely good year, and then he had that devastating knee injury.
Yeah, 100%. Rank those three catchers going forward, Jake: Wellington Castillo, Wilson Ramos, and Yasmani Grandal.
It's Ramos, Castillo, Grandal. Same, pretty much as I had in the spring training, the same as I would have today, and they're all fringe catcher ones, though. So you could wait if you're going to wait in catcher one catcher leagues, two catcher leagues. These guys were going a little bit earlier than the rounds you mentioned because, you know, they're all valuable. They're all catcher ones, like I said.
Right. Oh, you know what that is? It's another strikeout for Jake Juice.
You need a bell or something.
I do. I love Jake Juice. Speaking of people I love or used to love, poor Joe, huh? Has hit the DL now.
Who? Oh, well, yeah. Now, look, it didn't sound good in spring training.
No.
Then it was like he was going to pitch the Thursday. Then it was Sunday. Then it was DL. Now he's not going to pick up a ball for a while. This is not good for the Pirates. And this is a player that they needed to count on.
Yeah, not so great.
You can go ahead and cut Joe Musgrove.
Cut Joe Musgrove. Cut Joe Musgrove.
Just put him on the DL.
Well, yeah, if you have a DL. I'm so used to not playing with a DL.
Sure. I'm going to say you can cut him now. Life is good. Okay, so
I also wanted to say you can cut him because so I knew Sussman was going to relish in that.
I did indeed. Final five of the program here. Did you guys watch the national championship game last night?
You know what? I didn't. I was going to tune on to the second half, but it didn't seem like it was necessary.
It wasn't necessary. Jake, Villanova was the best team in college basketball all year, and they looked at it last night.
Yeah, so we closed out yesterday my prediction. I said Villanova walking away, and that's pretty much what happened. The second half. First half, and at least until about the last 5 minutes of the first half, it didn't look like. It looked like we were actually going to get a decent game. And Michigan was surprising a lot of people, but it was very similar. The funny thing was, it was similar to Michigan's game against Loyola, is that as bad as they were playing, which is probably about the worst that we've seen Villanova for some time, they were still within the hunt. They were still barely behind by 6-7 points.
Sure.
And then just like Michigan did to Loyola, they clicked and everything came out differently, and especially in the second half, and it was game over from there. This Villanova team is one of the better. You know what? If we were talking about the last years, I'd probably say they're a top five team.
Yeah, Villanova is fantastic. It was fantastic. Won every game by double digits during the tournament.
Is Philadelphia now the city of champions?
Two in a row. Amazing.
Well, we don't have to worry about it because Gabe Kapler.
No, thank you.
I'm just taking a shot. Look, Gabe Kapler.
The Flyers or the Sixers? The Flyers good?
The Flyers are pretty good this year, from what I remember. Yeah. I haven't really been following hockey of late.
Is that because the Rangers are terrible?
The Rangers are terrible, but it's just baseball. It was just, you know.
Oh, so the Flyers are in the wild card. Okay. So they got a shot.
But, look, I mean.
Is it called a wild card in hockey?
Yeah, it's called a wild card, sure. Devils are in, too.
I don't want to kill the guy, but I don't like when people just stand up for him because he's trying to do analytics. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And, you know, just because he's wants to do analytics doesn't make him right. That's my part.
Oh, yeah. Screw. I'm so out on Gabe Kapler. I could not be more out. That's a hard single up the middle for Hymer. Oh, boy. And now Miggy's up in the rain. This is not good. This is not good. In the rain.
We have to put the rally cap on.
Oh, dude. This is bad. This is bad. Jake.
The worm has turned.
Jake, would you say that you have MLB Network on every night? Do you like watch baseball every night?
No.
No?
We talked about that yesterday.
Did we?
I told you it's changed. It used to be like I would have the Mets game on either my laptop, my phone, or the side TV or something like that. But so far this season, there's already been two nights. Like, I didn't have it on last night. I was watching Raw in the championship game.
Speaking of Raw, I apologize, wow. Matt. This is the last time Jake and I, you know. So, WrestleMania is this Sunday.
I can see maybe WrestleMania, but a Monday Night Raw.
Well, WrestleMania is this Sunday. This is Sunday. So, it's the last Raw before WrestLemania.
This is
and it was the worst Raw build-up into a WrestleMania that I know of my memory.
So this is like the big soap opera cliffhanger thing?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's supposed to drive you to buy the pay-per-view, theoretically. It did not.
But one thing I noticed on MLB TV, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No worries.
You can't do the four box anymore? Or maybe
I don't know. I haven't seen the quad box.
Maybe it's me. I'm not the most technology advanced person.
Well, now you don't get to it, Greg. Sorry.
And now we'll have to wait until tomorrow.
Cliffhanger.
And cliffhanger. That is a cliffhanger. Unlike Miguel Cabrera, who got hung by Jake Janis for another strikeout. We're done. BFFs are up next. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.